Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Listener Incentives Division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Oh, now, I'm trying to get... Listener Incentives. Okay, I understand what that means.
Incentives.
Listener Incentives.
Now, we all know that car makers have been increasing their sales for years by offering potential car buyers questionable discounts on new cars in you know, various forms, such as rebates and, or our personal favorite, factory to dealer incentives. What are factory to dealer incentives?
You don't sell the car, I break your leg.
Yes, I think that's what it is. What the factory goes up, hey, sell some damn cars. It's a pretty good incentive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, it occurred to us that if car buyers could be lured in with ploys like these, then why not make the same kind of offer to Car Talk listeners? Both of you.
No kidding.
Yeah.
We can do that?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, here's what we're going to do. If you act immediately, you must act immediately because I'm going to have to talk to the manager if you don't. I'm
going
to talk to the manager. You become a regular Car Talk listener, we will refund 15% of any time that you waste listening to this show.
As soon as we figure out how to
For example, I mean, if you listen to the entire show, 60 minutes, an hour, we'll give you 9 minutes back.
Yeah.
Isn't that a deal?
We're going to go broke.
And you can have it anytime you want.
Really?
Anytime. You're hanging by your thumbs, you want the 9 minutes then, we'll give it to you then.
Cool.
It's the end of your life, you're lying on your deathbed.
9 minutes.
9 minutes.
But if what if you listen every week?
Every week it adds up, but it adds up.
You're going to be in trouble. Anyway, if you want to call us about your car or your rebate, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Bill from Augusta, Georgia.
Hey, Bill.
How are you?
Augusta,
right.
Georgia, that's where they have the golf thing. What do they call that? The Masters.
The Masters.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't know that until I watched the Masters a couple of weeks ago.
Can I ask you a question?
Shoot.
Are you familiar with the Masters? I mean, are you into golf?
Minorly.
Last week's New York Times puzzle had an 8-letter clue. The clue was 3-time Masters winner. 8 letters. The middle 4 letters of which were, get this.
Wait a minute, I'm going to pull it out. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So it's blank.
Blank, we got it.
As far as I can remember, it was blank, blank, R-S-N-O, blank, blank.
Oh,
what in the heck is that?
You got me.
You screwed up something.
Everything is right.
I think, let's see, I'm thinking Jack Nicklaus must be.
How about
Snood.
How about it's Sam Sneed?
I'm going to stick that in.
Yeah.
All right, Bill.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the call, and you've been a lot of help to us. Is this any way to have on a radio show?
No. What can we do, Bill?
Well, I've got a 1990 Dodge Grand Caravan.
Okay.
90.
And it's getting a lot of miles. It's got like close to 100,000, 99.6 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It has developed this really annoying hesitation that crops up unpredictably.
Mm.
You'll be running down the road and everything's going fine. You think, okay, no problem. And then all of a sudden, you come to a stop sign or a stoplight, and then the thing will spit and sputter when you hit the foot feed, to start out.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just go kind of like that, and sometimes it'll pop underneath. Almost sounds like it backfired.
It is. It's backfiring under the hood.
Uh-huh.
When it happens, it usually does not happen like first thing in the morning when I crank it up to go to work. But if I go somewhere to run an errand and I get out of it and go in, conduct a little business, whatever, come back and crank it up, then it's very apt to do it after it's sat there for a couple of minutes and then you start it up again.
What if you stop again in 15 or 20 minutes? Will it then happen again so it happens more than once a day?
It certainly is prone to that.
Yeah.
And none of these times does the check engine light come on?
No.
Well, two things come to mind.
Really?
Yeah.
You better tell us the second one, because I know the first one's going to get us into trouble.
Well, no, the first thing that comes to mind is, what's for supper tomorrow?
Well, we had a great homemade chicken pot pie at our house last night.
No, you could have, because the check engine light isn't coming on, I'm going to dismiss it being a sensor, although it certainly could be something like the throttle position sensor, which may be just enough out of spec to cause the problem, but not enough to make the light go on.
I don't like it.
Well, I know you weren't going to like it, so I'm going to jump right to 2 and 3. Now yeah. I have 3 things.
You got another idea. Yeah, good.
You could have, this is a 3.3 liter engine?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you could have a bad coil. This has 3 pairs of coils.
Mm.
Okay, one each pair is for 2 cylinders, obviously. A tenths,
mm-hmm. so,
2 times 3.
Each, right.
Six.
There you go. Six divided by 3 is 2, yeah. 1 divided by 2 is 3. And it could be one of those coils is weak. But more likely than not, you have a bad fuel pump.
Oh!
And I bet you've never had it changed in 100,000 miles.
I have not had the fuel pump changed.
Well, you're ready, Bill, I suspect. And that wouldn't show up on the check engine light business either. But you can certainly have your mechanic put his fuel pressure tester, it's very easy to do on this thing, in the line and read the pressure and compare it to what the spec should be.
Uh-huh.
And I wouldn't be surprised. And you could answer one question, which would cinch it. Are you the kind of person that lets the tank run real low between fill-ups?
Well, not always, but sometimes it kind of works out that way.
Yeah, well, if you do that enough, you'll damage the pump.
Okay. Like how low?
Like... With
like E.
Were you banging on the dashboard to see if the needle's broken?
Gotcha. No, there is a low fuel light.
Well, I know.
That always comes on how you don't get gas, right?
Pretty much. I'll wait for that to
become okay.
On. Well, there's a good chance then that it is the fuel pump, and that's easy to test. But if that doesn't prove anything, then you can go ahead and have your mechanic test the ignition system.
Okay. Now, just for future reference, do I need to fill it up before the fuel light comes on as a matter of routine?
Not anymore. When you get the new fuel pump, you might want to do that.
In general, that's not a bad idea.
Okay, though. So I'm really messing up majorly here by letting it tell me when to fill it up.
I think so.
Okay.
See you, Bill.
Thanks.
All right, good luck.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
You bet.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary Beth from Albany, New York.
How are you?
Okay.
So what's going on?
I have a car-slash-almost-marital problem.
Car-slash-almost-marital.
Yeah.
Are you almost maritaled?
No, I am married.
You are maritaled.
Okay.
My brother can take care of that in no time.
Okay, here's my sad but short story. My husband changed the oil on the car for the first time, which was great. We thought we'd save money. And so a week later, he went out to check whether or not it was still okay. And he went to pop the hood, and the little plastic piece, the hood release, broke.
What is this, a Volvo?
No, it's a 92
Audi.
Voyager.
Plymouth Voyager.
Okay, yeah. This is the little piece that's the final catch after
you pull it and pop the lip, right.
Yeah, okay.
So being a nice person, I went to the dealer and bought the new piece, but they said, we don't sell just the little plastic piece. It comes attached to a whole cable thing. So, okay, fine. That was about, $35, and I get home and hand it to my husband and say, here.
He says, what am I supposed to do with this?
And he went out to the car, started scratching his head, and said, I can't install this without the hood open, and I can't open the hood without this.
Your classic catch-22 situation.
Okay. Yeah.
So
he hasn't opened the hood since he broke the hood release.
Right, and we tried, obviously, pliers, the plier method on the little piece of wire, nothing. We went back to the dealer and said, very funny, guys, how do we put this in? And he said, we can take care of that for you. We can take off the grill in the front. It's 2 hours labor. It's $65 to install this part.
Well, is there, in fact, if you look under the dash, is there, in fact, a little piece of the cable protruding?
Yes.
Oh.
You're trying to grab that with a pair of pliers.
We tried that, yeah.
You need to go out and buy a pair of vice grips.
We tried that, too.
Oh, well, why didn't that work?
Well, we think that maybe it's, like, seized up inside. That's why the plastic piece broke off.
Well, it may be. It may be that the cable was just, the latch mechanism was just so rusted that you had to pull on it so hard to get the hood open that you broke it.
Right.
Actually, if your husband is or you are willing to do this, you can lie down on your back, okay, underneath the vehicle, and look up where right behind the grill, and you will, in fact, see that cable.
Yeah.
You will see where it connects to the hood latch.
Right.
And when the other one pulls on it, you'll be able to see what you're hoping to accomplish. You're trying to move a little lever.
Right.
And you might be able to reach up there with either your hand or a long screwdriver and right. just whack that thing as the other person pulls on the cable, and voila, the hood will pop open. And once it's open, then your husband will have no excuse. He'll have to yeah. put the new cable
and
in.
And once it's open, just take the hood off and leave it off. What do you need a hood for?
That would be easier.
It would be easier.
Okay.
But that's what you have to do, and that's doable.
Okay.
All right?
All right, we're going to try it. Thank you very much.
Good luck, Mary Beth.
Beth, see ya. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Who's this?
This is Ben from Philadelphia.
Hi, Ben.
How's it going?
How you doing?
Ben with one N, huh? Just checking.
Yeah.
What's the nature of your call?
2 weeks ago, I went home for the weekend. I'm a student. I'm in Philadelphia, but I went home to North Jersey to visit my parents, and I borrowed their car. It's a 96 Land Rover Discovery automatic.
Uh-huh.
I went out. I came back late, like 1 o'clock in the morning. And what happens sometimes when I come back late at night, and I know there's nobody on the street, I have to describe my street. My street, the street going up to my house, you go up a little medium hill, then you go down the other side, then there's this long, flat bit.
You
and then
floored
it curves left.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make a sharp right into my driveway and then a sharp left into the garage.
I got it.
Got it.
And the driveway is ever so slightly uphill. And what I do, I used to do this in the old car all the time. I used to, you go a little bit fast over the top of the hill, you drop your lights down to the parking lights, you open the windows, you put it in neutral, and you turn off the ignition.
Yeah, and you see if you can make it right into the garage and hope the door is open.
Well, I've never made it to the garage. I always make it up the driveway, and then I chicken out, and I turn on the ignition again, and I use, because the power steering goes out, the power brakes go out, which is no problem. I'm a big guy. I can handle it.
Oh, yeah, we know
sure.
that.
Sure.
Sound
yeah.
like a big guy.
This is great.
So I get in a Land Rover, and I'm coming home, and I do this. I pop the lights down, drop the windows. The windows are important.
Yeah.
Because then you can hear it.
Yeah.
And I come up over the hill, and I'm clicking along. I'm going well, no problem.
Yeah.
I make the curve left, so that's fine. I lose a lot of speed there. I make the sharp right into the driveway. I lose a lot of speed there.
Yeah.
And for the first time, I think I'm going to make it into the garage.
Wow.
And so I take the wheel, and I start, pulling it to the left very hard. And I'm about halfway through this turn into the garage, and I smell and see smoke.
Ooh.
I don't want to say billowing. Billowing probably isn't the right word, but it wasn't exactly...
From under the hood.
...of smoke. It's from under the hood, and also from my gear change box.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see what my concern is.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out now. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Do I go in? Do I wake up my parents? I don't know.
Oh, no, you sneak in the house and you just go to sleep.
Exactly. I don't know what happened to the car, Mom.
I didn't even use it.
I was using the other car. Yeah, no problem.
My friend gave me a ride home. Yeah.
I open the hood. It's smoking. I wait until the smoke stops. It's about 10 minutes. And I pulled it back into the garage. I left the hood open so that if it did start smoking again, there's a smoke detector right above the car.
Yeah,
and if it did start smoking, then I figured it would trigger
cool.
it.
Yeah.
And I didn't say anything. And I drove it about, for 5 minutes the next day just to see if it was going to blow up. And it didn't.
Fun.
And then I put it back in the garage, and I went back to Philadelphia. Back
oh,
to
what
school.
A tangled web we weave.
Yeah. Well, now here's the thing. My parents want to take a trip. They told me they're taking a trip.
And you're agonizing. Many sleepless nights, I can see, and you well, deserve it.
I need to know if yeah. when it does break down, because clearly I did something, when they pull it into the shop guy will say, well, geez, somebody must have been pulling a hard left turn with no power steering on it. Or if they'll be like, oh, yeah, wear and tear.
Well, the fact
tear,
that you have power steering, I think, gives me the answer.
Yeah.
I think because the engine was not running and you were making the car turn left and right, you were actually forcing fluid out of the reservoir, which can happen if the steering is worked when the engine is off. We see it all the time in the shop when we push cars, broken down cars in, and the engine is not running because the battery is dead for whatever reason. The thing isn't running.
But it's basically pumping backwards.
It's pumping, as you turn the wheel, it's pumping power steering fluid backwards, and it's escaping through the vent in the pump housing, the reservoir. And you've spilled power steering fluid, which then got blown all over the intake, the exhaust manifold, which was hot. And it made all this smoke, which then entered the ventilation system, filled up the cabin. The oxygen mask dropped down from the ceiling. The flight attendants came and told you to fasten your seatbelt. And then you ducked into the house like a chicken.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's what happened. And you if you wanted to escape from this and not fess up to what you've done.
That is what I want to do.
I know that.
Sure. I mean, that's the man's way.
You can tell your parents to make sure before they go on their trip to check all the fluid levels. You were listening to some show called Car Talk, and they suggested that you do this before a long trip.
Yeah, and that especially 96 Discoveries have a problem losing power steering fluid.
Okay.
Now. And that I'll bet you it's low, Dad. These guys really know their stuff.
He'll think you're a genius.
And when they pull it in, the guy in the shop will say, I was listening to the show, and was that your son?
Was that your son? Do you live at the end of a long, winding...
Yeah, we have your last name, Ben, and we'll be sending your folks a tape. Where do they live, in Piscataway?
I ain't saying.
Well, Ben, I think your secret is probably safe with us.
And, okay. So
a couple of million people listening.
And the 2.6 million listeners that we have, and hopefully none of them will recognize your voice and call your folks.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've got the voice changer on here. I'm actually a young lady.
You're a dead duck. But do call them and have the fluid levels checked, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Yeah. Okay, but it's not going to blow up.
It's not going to blow up.
It's not going to blow up.
And if the steering still works, don't forget there's a reservoir there, so there's more fluid than you actually need.
And it wouldn't have taken much fluid to have what you call almost billowing smoke. I mean, it might have been a thimbleful,
okay. But
it wouldn't hurt to check it.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
See you, Ben.
See you.
Oh, boy.
That was an interesting little story. I can see this 16-year-old kid. I know he's now in college, but he must have developed this technique when he was 16 years old, borrowed his father's car, gets home at 2 o'clock in the morning. I can see it. It's so beautifully
done. What time did you get in, Ben? Oh, about 11:30. All right, look, it's time to give our stations a chance to distance themselves from us. And when we come back, we're going to have the answer to last week's puzzler.
It was a great puzzler.
You remember it?
No, I'm just being a supportive older brother.
Since when? Well, last week's puzzler happened to be about some unusual odometer readings on my brother's car. And we'll be my supportive brother's car. And we'll be back with the whole story and more of your car questions in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Well, I bought my Barracuda back in 73. I'm talking Detroit. I like it. They used to be now the SUVs. They steer well clear of me. Once I thought of selling, I could have used the cash. But she won't let me. My little hula girl dancing on my dash.
And even though Zen masters report a total inability to concentrate whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
It was about my new ride.
That's right, and it was sent in by a fellow named Scott Murphy with some tasteful unclarifications by yours truly.
Of course.
Now, some of you may have heard that my brother has a brand new Heap.
New to me.
Well, yeah, it is new to you. It's a 19-year-old Miata. But to him, it's brand new, right?
It's magnificent, and it starts. I mean, what more can you ask?
Not much. It also has one of those newfangled six-digit odometers, so it can register as many as 999,999 miles. And it doesn't show the tenths, of course, just whole miles. So it could read all nines.
Yeah.
So anyway, you ready now?
Yeah.
One fine morning last week, around noon 30, Tommy gets into his new car to drive to work. Work. He fires up his engine, but before pulling out of the driveway, he notices something interesting. His odometer reading is a six-digit palindrome. You know what a palindrome is, right?
Of course I do.
Well, for those of you who don't know, it's a number that reads the same forward as it does backwards. For example, if his odometer read 175,571 miles, that's a palindromic number. 175,571 reads the same forward and backwards, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, he says to himself, and off he goes. Naturally, he's in no hurry to get to work because when he gets there, all he's going to do is turn around and go home again. So he stops at his favorite cafe and gets his usual quadruple espresso macchiato, and about an hour later, he shows up at Car Talk Plaza. just as he pulls into his reserve for King Stoopy, the 15th parking spot, he notices that his odometer reading again is a six-digit palindrome. And no, the odometer is not broken. So he left his house, saw a six-digit palindrome, drove for less than an hour, and his odometer reading is again a six-digit palindrome. So here's the question. How far did he drive that day to get to work?
Wow.
Whoa, baby, huh? Now, you know how far you drive to get to work, so you probably know the answer, but nobody else does. Well, let's look at our initial example, 175,571 miles, I think, right?
Yeah.
The next closest palindromic odometer reading would be actually 176,671, which is 1,100 miles away,
yeah.
Right? Now, I know Tommy might drive 1,100 miles to go get away from work, but he would never drive 1,100 miles to get to work. And besides, he had less than an hour to do this.
Yeah.
Right? Let's not forget his cafe stop.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can do better. Let's say his odometer reading was like 199,991.
Oh, that's cute.
11 miles later, it reads 200,002 miles. So he's driven 11 miles.
11 miles.
Now, of course, there's one absurd answer, which is that his odometer read 999,999 miles. He drove a mile, and it went to all zeros, and both of those are palindromes. Now, my brother's driven some heaps in his day, but even he wouldn't drive anything with that many miles on it. So the answer we're going with, and the non-absurd answer, is 11 miles.
Pretty cute.
Do we have a winner?
The winner is David Crump from Penn Hills, Pennsylvania, and for having his correct answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got. David will get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our Father's CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars, which is a perfect Father's Day gift, by the way, provided your father has already cut you out of the will, or there's no will. So, congratulations, David, baby.
Anyway, we'll have a new, I guess you'd have to call it quasi-automotive.
Thank you, mister. Thank you, man.
Quasi-folkloric. I mean, it's folkloric automotive. Has to do with physics.
Ooh.
Chickens.
Really?
It'll come up
all of those things
in the third half of today's show. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us and ask us any questions you'd like
about anything.
About anything. The number is 888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dale from Masonville.
Dale,
Colorado.
Masonville, Colorado.
Yes, that's about 70 miles north of Denver.
Masonville, see, oh, you're up near the Wyoming border.
Windy Wyoming, you bet.
Yeah. So what's going on, man?
I've got a 1970 Ford pickup that I inherited from my father when he passed away. Mm. I went out this spring to try to start it, and it wouldn't start. So I got looking a little further and discovered that flake corn was coming out of both of the glass pack exhausts. What had happened, my mother, who lived there with my dad, had fed her rabbits every day flake corn, and unbeknownst to her, mice had taken the flake corn, and somehow, and that is question number one, how did they get it in the exhaust? The exhaust is, what, 10 inches off the ground? Did they stand on each of their little backs and pick it up piece by piece?
They may have built a ladder of osier.
Well, the bottom line is I tried several things to get it unhooked. I went out and gunned it, and I got the left side loose. A bunch of smoldering corn came plowing out one exhaust.
Yeah.
Luckily, didn't hit anybody at the time. The other side is just hopelessly plugged.
Oh, you know when they did this? In the winter.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they didn't have to build a ladder. They climbed up that
on the snow
ramp of snow. So that's what they did.
So the other side, when you say it's hopelessly plugged, you don't feel any exhaust coming out of it?
Very little. Very little, and a little flake corn comes popping out.
Yeah. See, I hate to think it, but I think.
Oh no, I don't think so. You think it went in the other way?
No. I think that the reason it's plugged up is not that it's plugged up with corn, but it's plugged up with the people, little creatures who delivered the corn.
Probably right.
You mean the corn couriers?
The corn couriers are in there with their little backpacks, you know, and
singing, "Hi ho, Hi-ho.
It's off to the muscle we go. Da, 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 da.
Do you hear any singing?
No.
If you turn the engine off.
If you listen really carefully.
Well, yeah. Actually, I took it down the road quite a ways, and it died on me after I got one side loose, thinking that I could break the other one loose with the acceleration,
and
it died.
Well, what you need to do is you need to take off. This has dual exhaust, and you need to take off the muffler on that side.
Okay.
Because the muffler is the only thing that is labyrinthal. That once they got into it, it's unlikely they got beyond it.
Is it welded on, you know, or is that...
No, it's probably clamped on, but you have to practically destroy it. I would just, if you can get it to a gas station, just have them cut that thing off with a torch or air chisel it off.
Well, that was my plan, cutting it off, but I thought I would wake the neighbors on my way down about 10 miles to the nearest gas station.
No. Unless you gun it, it'll be pretty quiet, but you can cut that off with a hacksaw.
Yeah, that I can do.
And when you do that, you're going to notice it weighs about 95 pounds, and the thing will run like a dream because it has to be there. It's unlikely they got beyond the muffler.
But I mean, I would try to take it off delicately.
I wouldn't.
You don't think so? I mean, you might actually, once you take the muffler out of there, if you could get it off without wrecking everything, you might be able to, like, shake those little fellas out of
you
there.
You ain't going to...
Let them live.
No, you ain't going to shake
You those. Don't think so?
No.
Gee, that might be worth a shot.
And even if you could... Would you want to? Saw the muffler off.
Yeah.
With a hacksaw and try to get it as close to the muffler cut that is.
Yeah.
As you possibly
screw
can.
Up. You don't want to have to buy a front pipe.
So saw that muffler off at the point closest to the muffler, start it up, it'll run like a dream, then you can drive to Midas and have them throw a new muffler on there.
And get rid of the corn and the mice.
Get rid of the corn and the mice. Good luck, Dale.
Thank you.
Good luck is right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Connie, and I'm in Long Beach, California.
Hi, Connie. Boy, you sound so clear.
I do.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it's
I'm
like
very
you're...
coherent. And...
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, the connection sounds so clear. It's like you're right in the same room with us.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think that's possible, but...
Oh, and you have such a sweet voice.
Well, thank you.
So what's up, Connie?
Well... I have a car problem, and
after
this call, I'm probably going to have a marital problem.
Cool.
Yeah. See, you're going to entice something here.
Yeah, my brother loves to make trouble.
Oh, he's going to make trouble on this one, I'm sure, but
yeah.
I'm desperate.
All right.
I have an 87 Jeep Cherokee,
uh-huh.
Laredo. About 5 years ago, it initially started idling really high on rainy days. It would run like 20 RPM when you first started it. So my husband, who happens to be an auto shop teacher...
Oh.
And this is why it's going to cause problems.
This is going to be ugly.
Oh, I know. Ooh. See, I've been threatened if I make this call. And
so you started it up on a rainy day, and it was idle really, really slowly, and then, boom, go way up high.
It would start out high.
Oh, it'd start out high.
It would start out really high, and it would go for a few minutes, and then it would slow down.
Yeah.
Now, at that point, he changed the throttle position sensor.
Ooh, very good.
And that fixed it. Until December this year, when it started doing it again.
Uh-huh.
Now, he didn't want to mess with it this time. I took it into a Jeep repair shop,
yeah.
And they replaced it a second time.
Okay.
So that was fine until 2 months later when it started doing it again.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I took it back in and I thought that they were going to say, oh, it was defective or something and give me something free, I ended up paying $300 for a new idle bypass motor.
Mm.
Now, here's the clincher. When I handed him my check for $300, he says, if it does it again, you better think about getting a new car.
And it's this way to the showroom.
No kidding. Does it still only happen in the rain?
No, now it happens inconsistently.
Oh, good.
But it'll go down the street by itself. I don't, you know, I have the brake on and I'm going down the street, you know.
Yeah.
If I turn the motor off and on, it'll eventually stop. Are you stumped?
Not yet.
No.
Okay.
We
are stumped temporarily.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have your husband online, too.
Uh-oh.
Seeing if
that's
he can help
he's
us.
That's what he's afraid of, I think. That's what he's...
I'm going to take a stab here.
Go ahead. We need a stab. We need one.
I think it's the computer.
The computer?
Yeah.
Is there a main computer? Or
yes, there is a main
computer.
There's a New Hampshire computer.
Vermont.
No, there is a computer.
Okay.
And it controls all the functions of all of these things, like the idle air control and the idle speed control, or the bypass, whatever they call it,
uh-huh.
The air bypass thing. The computer sends a signal to this bypass valve, which can boost the idle speed. And it may be that it's sending the wrong signal to these things some of the time.
Okay.
I think the first time that they, quote, fixed it, it was just luck.
Okay.
I don't think they fixed anything.
You're going to have trouble explaining all of
I
this.
I am, and I'm hoping that we run out of time. So is it time for a commercial break?
No, there is no commercial break. And we.
I have a fallback position.
I hope so. The computer. Wow. That's...
Well, there is one other possibility that you may have a bad ground connection someplace.
Oh.
And a bad underhood ground.
I like this much better.
Can cause all kinds of erratic behavior like this.
Okay. Ah.
So it may be that there should be a place where there are a bunch of ground wires connected to the block of a cylinder head.
Uh-huh.
Have your husband, if he hasn't already done so.
This is a job for your husband, not the dealer.
Okay.
Take those wires off and clean them all up and maybe run another ground between the firewall, for example, and the cylinder head.
Okay.
And bad grounds can make all kinds of peculiar behaviors like this. And I have to slap my wrist.
I love
for not
this.
Coming up with that first.
I love this answer.
But when that isn't it, throw a new computer in there, Connie.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. Thanks a million.
See ya.
Yeah. Say hello to your husband.
I will.
Have him call.
Talk to me. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gil in Phoenix, Arizona.
Hey,
Gil, is that with one L or two?
You know, this is not a fish part. This is the guy you're talking
okay,
to.
It's one L then. All right.
One L.
Yeah, so what's up?
Well, we get some weird people that call the show with weird names, with weird spelling, so you never know.
Yeah. I never know.
And we have to ask.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
So what's going on is I've got a 1987 Toyota Camry.
Uh-huh.
It's got 249,000 miles on it.
No.
Yeah, man. I've driven across the country about four times.
Wow.
Would you keep forgetting something?
Yeah. Well, I'm from the East Coast, and I ended up out here. And the problem, well, the opportunity is to figure out where my clutch fluid is going.
What route do you take when you drive back and forth across the country?
Generally, the northern route, and then drop down through Houston and go across 10.
Yeah, that's where it's going.
That's where the clutch fluid is going. Right on that route.
It's in Houston.
It's in Houston. Right.
I have to go to Houston.
You got to go to Houston to get it back.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, park in Houston and put a can underneath the... No, you're looking at the clutch slave cylinder, which is attached right to the transmission. You can see it when you open the hood. And if you look for... You don't know that.
I don't know that.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you a lesson in clutch.
Well, let me just say one more thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Before the lesson, which I desperately want, there's no leak on the ground. There's no fluid.
I know that.
That's okay. Right.
I'm going to tell you where the leak is, and you're going to go out to your car right now,
and in
5 minutes, you're going to say...
With the first finger of your right hand.
You're going to say, Tara Lipinski's tutu.
That's exactly where it is.
Good.
The reason there are no drops on the ground is because it's coming out so slow.
Well, that would be true, except it ain't leaking there.
Ooh.
So my brother thinks it's leaking from the slave cylinder.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't gonna jump into that.
Which would leave spots on the ground if you stayed in the same place for like.
But he doesn't. He drives
months.
Back and forth across the country. The guy's got a million miles in
his
car.
But if it were the slave cylinder, somebody would have seen it, and maybe you would have even seen it, because there'd be a mess under the hood. Eventually, it would make a mess.
No, there's no mess.
I would suspect the master cylinder is leaking, and it's leaking behind your carpet. If you pull up the carpet where you rest your left foot, there's going to be like a gallon of fluid there, because you've been adding fluid to this thing regularly.
Right.
And the fluid is leaking out the back of the clutch master cylinder, flowing down the firewall and underneath the carpet. And
so,
that's where the fluid is.
So there should be a puddle underneath my carpet.
Right. You could wring out that carpet and back into the bottle and use that to replenish the leak.
Or sell it back to the store.
No, you need to replace the clutch master cylinder.
So I need to check out the master cylinder.
Yeah. And actually, if you
not the brake master cylinder.
The clutch master.
Right. If you stick your head up under there and follow the clutch pedal, you'll see attached to it is a rod. That rod goes into the firewall, i.e. it points straight to the front of the car. And that rod will be parallel to the ground. Where that rod enters the master cylinder is a rubber boot. If you put your hand on that boot, it's going to be all wet with fluid.
Got it.
Replace the master.
I'm there. I'm on it.
Go for it, Gil.
Thank you so much.
And while you're at it, do the slave cylinder, because that's going to blow next week, too. Do them both. And while you're at it, buy a new car.
I'm not even talking about the starter, really. You guys have been great. Thanks so much.
See you later.
Next right. time you drive this way, stop by.
All right.
We'll be no having way. Coffee.
See you later.
Now, before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Yeah, because I can see from the steam coming out of your brain that it's starting to overheat up there.
We'll be back in a minute. And even though mathematicians try to figure out how 1 plus 1 can equal 0 whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Quasi-automotive involves chickens, is folkloric. That's what you said.
I said all that stuff.
You said that.
What the heck was I thinking?
In the first half of the show.
Really?
Or the second half. Not in the third half, because this is the third half.
Oh, and this is the time we're supposed
this
to do
this is the
puzzle.
Time you're supposed to come up with it.
Right, here it is.
Go ahead.
You remember the story, the Bridge of San Luis Rey?
Oh, man.
Thornton Wilder.
Oh. The first chapter of that book was maybe the best writing I have ever come across.
It went downhill fast after that, and so did the people on the bridge.
Chapter two stunk.
Well, this story is the Bridge of Tom and Ray.
Yeah.
In Borneo, there is a bridge connecting two islands constructed of bamboo lashed together with hemp. And it's been used for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Pedestrian traffic, vehicular traffic.
Vehicular?
Both directions.
Really?
Except the bridge has a weight limit. It's 4 miles long, this bridge. It has a weight limit of 20 tons.
Mm.
So one day, a truck pulls up to the bridge ready to cross, and the officials stop him, and they say, we have to weigh you. And so he drives onto the scale, and the truck is full of, I think, pigs, sedated pigs.
Well, this is not the old chickens flying in the truck thing.
Sedated pigs.
Sedated pigs.
Yeah. Pig iron and dead chickens.
Got it.
Got it?
Yeah.
And with the driver on the scale in the truck with all the, he weighs exactly 20 tons.
What
so the guy at the other end gets the signal, and he waves off traffic. Everyone has to stop,
and
the bridge is emptied, and this guy is allowed to drive over the bridge. You got it? He's just making it, 20 tons. He's right at the limit. You with me?
I'm with you. Yeah. Yeah.
As he drives across.
I know he's not going to make it.
Oh, no, he's done for. As he drives across, a sparrow begins to follow alongside.
No! No!
And begins to hover.
Oh, man!
Over the truck.
Yeah.
Flapping its wings. So he's halfway across the bridge, and there's the sparrow flying alongside the truck and now over the truck. And just when he's a little beyond the halfway point, the sparrow lands on the truck.
Oh, man. Bummer!
What does the driver do to keep the truck and the sedated pigs and the dead chickens from plunging into
the abyss?
The abyss. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or a 500-gallon Redwood hot tub with micro-massaging jets and hydraulic butt scratches and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to talk to us, the number is 1-888 Car Talk, that's
888-22-78255.
78-2. Just another
That's
twist.
A nice one.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, this is Herbert House from Chicago.
Herbert?
Yes, House from Chicago.
Herbert House.
No last name's Herbert. Chicago.
Guys, I've got a problem. I have a 79 VW van that likes to catch a fire on the left-hand side of the van, of the engine.
Oh, yeah? did you buy this vehicle new?
No.
No, 79. I brought it for my stepdad, but he's good about cars. I knew I had a gasoline leak, but it had been leaking gas for about 2 years on the right-hand side and never had any problems.
Uh-huh.
I plugged it, you know, the weather here was bad enough that the plug would come out, so I finally spent the money to drop the engine.
Yeah.
They replaced the gas cap, well, pulled it out, put two nipples on it where there used to be one with a Y-joint, feeding the gasoline back to both sides of the engine.
Good.
Okay. I go, he said, Herb, you might need some engine mounts in a while, but you'll get along with it. Had no problem. The first time it burned, somebody told me down the street, Herb, somebody, your car's burning. I got out, put that out. Took it to them, and they could not find it. As long as they had it, no problem. They ran to Herb, no problem,
yeah.
So it caught a fire again.
Well, maybe when your father bought this car new, did he get the excitement package?
Well, no.
VW has that, you know, because people have accused VW vehicles of being boring.
But this is my third one. I love these.
I think it was 79 that they introduced the excitement package, as a matter of fact.
I don't know what it is.
So what happened? Is this a scenario? You're driving along, somebody's behind you?
Yes, totally. It was the first time.
They see the flames shooting out of the...
Well, you could see it down low by the wheel at that point.
Yeah.
So maybe we thought it was some debris from the manifold pipes that come back. I'd replaced some of it or tried to patch it with the little foil-like ductwork, you know, around the manifolds and holes back to the muffler system. So we pulled some junk out maybe from weather. We thought that was burning, but the next time it was really on top of the engine.
Did you attend the Mickey Mouse School of Technology? I mean, Herb, come on. This is dangerous.
But for 2 years I drove it with the gas can leaking, no problem. Drop the motor. Fix the gas can, put it back in, and then I've got fire in the hole.
Well, I think what's probably causing the fire is not gasoline, but oil. I think motor oil is leaking onto the hot exhaust, and that's catching fire.
See, motor oil is more likely to catch fire than gasoline, strangely enough.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Hard to believe.
Would the gasoline just have exploded the whole thing?
No.
It would evaporate.
The gasoline doesn't stay around. When gasoline hits a hot object like a manifold,
uh-huh.
It doesn't stay around long enough to reach what's called the ignition point. And the ignition point for gasoline and oil are both around 700 and something degrees.
But the gasoline evaporates real fast.
Stays there and it boils and bubbles and gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter.
Okay.
And I think you're going to find it's an oil leak causing the problem.
Okay,
but I could be wrong.
Only on that side. Only on that side. It's sort of topographical, you know, in the sense that it's there, but I don't see any, you know, it's not gushing out from any place.
No, it wouldn't be gushing out from any place.
And it doesn't take much oil to start a fire.
Gee whiz.
I mean, I guess I would take it to the mechanic somehow if you can get it there.
Okay.
And he's going to just let it run. And see what's going on in that side.
Yeah, tell him not to go to lunch while he leaves it running.
Exactly. I keep a fire extinguisher in the car. I mean, it's still there.
Yeah, very good.
Great. Thank you.
See you, Herb.
Hey,
all
Herb,
right,
good luck.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Rebecca.
Rebecca. Where are you from, Rebecca?
I am from Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what's up?
Okay, I'm having, I guess, part a car problem, but mostly a father problem.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm kind of calling for your help and mostly for you to exonerate me of my guilt toward him.
Really? Okay, well, let's see. Let's hear the facts first.
Anything you say could be prejudicial, so just give us bare facts.
I am being prejudicial. I'll say that in the beginning. My father is a very... to say it nicely, I guess, compulsive man.
I call it a prejudicial statement.
Yeah.
That's one strike against
you. And how does this compulsiveness manifest itself?
Well, it manifests itself in a lot of ways. Some in good ways and some that are extremely, excruciatingly annoying.
Yeah.
One of the good ways is when it comes to cars.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps the cars in the family up to tip-top shape. Everything is done perfectly. Nothing ever goes without an oil change. You know, anything that needs to be done, he's on it.
Good. That's good. Every house needs one like that. Needs a person like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he takes it to a bit of an extreme, though. At least for me, because I don't share, I guess, as much as I should in his compulsiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of reaped the benefits up until now. But I just graduated from college, and I'm kind of moving on, and I'm trying to figure out which strings to cut. And which not to cut. And the purse...
Don't cut them money strings.
That's the problem. The purse strings, I don't want to cut. but I want to cut other strings. But what my father does is he keeps this stupid little book in the cars.
Oh, we're getting a little bit overwrought here, aren't we? Stupid little book. I wrote that down.
An SLB.
Yeah. So he keeps a stupid little book.
And half of the book's purpose, I understand. Every time you get an oil change or something, is
you write it down.
And the mileage. I can do that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, every single time he gets gas.
Oh!
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a pain in the butt? Well,
and he does the mileage right down to the tenth of a mile.
Hundredth
of a mile for the mileage.
Hundredth of a mile.
The gallon, how many gallons you put in, how much it costs, and where you got it.
Oh, where you got it.
The town that you got it in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. And I don't know why it pains me so much, but it really kills me to do this.
Well, because you're not an anal retentive personality. That's
that
why. And you're more of a free spirit.
Yeah.
Huh? You were trying not to use that term. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But my main problem is that the closest my father has come to disowning me has been when I don't fill in the little book.
Wow.
And I just got back from a trip to Atlanta where I'm going to be moving in 2 weeks. And I got a job.
Yeah.
And everything. I came back and my dad said, First thing he said to me within 5 minutes, I see you didn't keep up the little book.
Oh.
And I said, you know what, Dad? I made a conscious adult decision.
Rebecca! Wrong choice of words.
Rebecca!
Couldn't you just tough it out for 2 more weeks? What are you, nuts?
I made a conscious adult decision, and I can tell you, Dad, book this!
Well, his response back was, well, then I have just made a conscious adult decision.
Oh, yes, he would.
To not pay for anything else in the car again.
Oh.
And this week, the magic gash that usually appears, it hasn't appeared.
Yeah, and it won't.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you did it, and you have to be happy that you did.
Well, okay. I don't know about it.
There's no road back. There's no road back.
There is a road back. It's you. You are the road back.
Oh, in other words, we are going to explain to him the irrationality of this behavior, and he will then realize that he's been too demanding on you.
Yes.
He will continue to pay for all your repairs and whatever, and you can enjoy the luxury of driving the car without his intervention.
Yes.
Get it?
Yes.
How's that going to happen?
Fat chance, Rebecca.
Oh, no.
And you've made your position clear. I mean, did it come to any further words than that?
No, just no more gas.
And that's okay. I mean, you don't mind, right?
Well, no, Daddy was doing the repairs, too, and paying for them.
Yes.
So that's no longer going to happen.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I mean, you made your decision. You said, I've made an adult decision.
Rebecca, how old are you?
I'm 22.
All right, already.
So.
That's it. Time to cut the ties.
I just graduated a month ago, though. Shouldn't this take a slower process?
Well, did you major in art history?
Economics.
Oh, you don't have a job either, then.
I do have a job.
You do have a job?
Oh, then that's it.
Well, Rebecca, I will do anything to intercede in your behalf if you'll do me a favor and call my son and give him advice on how to sever the ties. Tell him to move out.
See, my brother just cut the ties, and he's 27. Don't I get those 5 years?
No, evidently not, because your brother was a wuss. Your brother was willing to kowtow. Your brother was willing to bend to your father's wacky will and fill out the stupid little book.
My brother was a biology major. He had
that explains
choice.
It.
Yeah, see,
yeah.
He
No, you're an independent individual, Rebecca.
That's
you are
right.
Tough, and you can do it.
Yeah, and it's your choice.
I can hear her whimpering now. Look at my little kiss.
You're going to buy, in 2 weeks when you move to Atlanta, you're not going to send him bills for the gas.
Yeah, she was going to.
Well, I thought it might happen.
Yeah.
Sure. I think for your own mental health.
Okay.
And in order to further your maturation process,
mm-hmm.
I think you must buy your own gas.
And you know this, too, because otherwise you would never have had the guts to respond to him the way you did when he said, Rebecca, you didn't fill out
the little book.
And
I think
you could have said, oh, gee, Dad, I guess I forgot, but I've got all the numbers right here in my head. Let me just jot them down. You could have done that, but no, you stood up tall.
Yeah, and look what
said,
it got me.
Father, dear.
I think your father, in his wisdom, has maintained the book for the sole purpose of getting you to closer to independence.
Ooh.
Okay.
You think he's got this all planned?
I think so. I think he's made the book a pain in the neck to the point that you will say, Daddy, I want to be on my own, and this is...
This book is stupid.
Daddy, huh? He's never heard that one before. Maybe I should try.
Yeah.
Hey, Rebecca.
Yes.
Good for you. Yeah. You did what you had to do. You're your own woman.
Okay.
Cut the ties.
Yeah.
So it's cut the purse strings,
yeah.
too?
Do you still have the little book?
Yeah. I was going to burn it. Does that mean I can burn it?
No, mail me the book.
Remember
I'll mail
the
you
great...
the book. I will mail you the book.
I need the book.
Benjamin Franklin's words.
I will give it to you.
There can be no freedom without responsibility.
Ooh.
And you did it. Good for you.
Okay.
See
Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Woo! I'm exhausted.
Stupid little bit. Why do people do that? I mean, come on.
What was?
I didn't want to say it to her face, but her father's a wacko.
She's still listening.
No,
well, it's interesting.
Why would you
want to
care? Why would you care?
We were discussing this the other day. We didn't even ask her what kind of a car it was. She
doesn't
drove.
Matter.
It doesn't matter. But
you know what it is. You know this.
Yeah, it's a Honda Civic.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, have you ever seen anyone driving a Lincoln Town Car?
Writing
take
down
out
the mileage.
Books, I mean, if you cared about your mileage, would you be driving a Lincoln Town Car?
No, but if you're driving a Honda Civic, I mean, I would be willing to
so
bet
you're,
money.
You're predisposed to caring about your mileage and your money, obviously. And so that encourages you to buy a Honda Civic and to make sure that you're getting your 37.66 miles per gallon.
Yeah, and if it changes to 37.64.
Oh.
What is going on? Let's get it fixed right away.
Lighten up.
Lighten up, will you?
Well, you've wasted an otherwise perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Michaela Ross. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the San Jose Duck Pate, Shrimp Satay, Beef Filet, Hot Beignet, Peach Flambé, Chilled Vouvray, and Warm Bengay Brunch Melee is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our lost luggage tracker is Lester Carey. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolts. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our Jeep driver is Jocelyn DeContents. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Da Vinci Code debunkers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and above all, don't drive like my brother.
And by the way,
yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1122, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, New York City's new Cab of the Future.
Columnist Jamie Kittman describes how New York City did a three-year worldwide search and ended up with a, quote, off-puttingly hideous new cab.
Really?
Well, that makes sense to me. If you're replacing a fleet of off-puttingly hideous old cabs, you replace them with what? Off-puttingly hideous new cabs, right?
Sure. Make people feel at home.
Exactly. See what Jamie doesn't like about New York's newly selected Cab of the Future right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though hyenas complain we give laughing a bad name whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.